Bible with you, please, to Corinthians chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to keep your hand in there, but I also want you to go to Hebrews 11, 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Again, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As Christians, God has given us a responsibility to live by faith. I hear so many people tell me, and say, well, I'm not really sure about that. I said, well, maybe it could be God wants you to live through faith for the sake. Maybe God just wants you to, not maybe, but God wants us to live by faith. Faith is the thing that gives us a wonderful blessing from God, because God says, you trust me. Things will happen in your life and you just can't understand. Things will come into your life and it just puzzles you. It's mysterious to you. It's just incredible to you, and you just don't get it and just can't figure it out. Well, that's when God says, live by faith. Something happens to us. We don't know why it happened to us, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We understand that things happen in our lives that we have to deal with faith. We have to deal with trusting God in it. Has God taken care of you before? If He's taken care of you before, He should take care of you today. And if He's taken care of you today, He should be able to take care of you tomorrow. I think God's big enough to do that. I think God can work miracles still today. Things that happen in our lives, things that we can't figure out, it blows our mind, the things that are happening, and then all of a sudden, something, someone, somehow, it's not coincidence, it's God. It's God. Brother Richard and and some folks were eating supper last night, and he was telling about a few things that happened to him, how that God literally grabbed him by the nap of the neck and put him into this ministry. And it's an amazing thing how God took care of him and supplied his needs and answered his prayer. One time he's out money. And some, boys, you're not listening to me. And someone walked up to his wife, handed her $100, and said, you need this more than we do. And they had no money to pay to fuel up their truck. And they were far away, didn't know who it was, just walked up. I call that an angel unaware. A number of years ago, I was flying to the Philippines, and my wife was up getting everything ready, and I was in bed sleeping because I knew there was a long trip to the Philippines on the little airplane. And all of a sudden, she saw on the news that Seattle had a terrible earthquake, and it said that the airport was shut down for a while. And so she got on the computer and got on the phone, and then she finally got to move me to a different place so I could get to the Philippines, because people were waiting for us to preach. When I got to Seattle, got out of the plane, and I walked down, and a man met me, about 6'4" guy, great big, good looking guy, just kind of looked like one of them torpedo guys, like some of you guys wish you looked like. He said, where are you headed? And I said, I'm going to the Philippines. He said, all right, get on this tram. And I wasn't sure that was a tram, but I did what he said. He's a big guy and in a uniform. And he said, get on this one. So I went back. And when I was about getting off, he said, all right, you get off this one. He says, have a great flight, Sheldon. I don't go by Sheldon. I go by SC. How do you know my first name? I don't know. And I got off that, started knowing, he said, you need to go that way. He followed me. He said, go that way. And I was in a trance and a daze. I didn't know what was going on. And just bad things were going crazy. And I went down there. And he watched me get on the plane. And I really believe that was an angel on work. That was the year we had over 6,400 saved that in the Philippines preaching to all these people. But I really believe that it is your responsibility, goal, and God will direct you in your goal. It's your responsibility to have faith. Someone said, I didn't hear, I usually don't never tell that story. It's just incredible how it worked. Now, God has given us, as Christians, the responsibility to live by faith. We have a duty prescribed by God and an obligation to perceive life in that way. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, in the first part, without faith, it is impossible. I wish you'd underline that in your Bible. It's impossible to please Him. You cannot please God, the Bible says, unless you have faith, trust in Him. Will God leave you? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be there for you. He said, even when a little sparrow falls on the ground, I love that little song that we sing, I sing once in a while, His eyes on the sparrow. God says, if God knows that when a sparrow dies and He knows that, He certainly loves you more and knows what. If God were to reveal to us everything that would happen in our life, many people say, well, I just don't know what's going on. Well, if God would enlighten us or show us a book that says, this is what's going to happen in your life, first of all, I'd be scared to death. There are some things I've gone through in my life. I'm wondering, what in the world how did I ever get through that? I remember getting on an airplane when I was in high school, getting on an airplane, heading for college, going to play football, and man, oh man, I've never run a commercial airplane. I didn't understand about that stuff. And then I got to Chicago, and I found my way to Rochester, Minnesota, got on another plane, got there. But when I got to Rochester, Minnesota, you heard the story many times, it's 50 miles to the college. And I asked the taxi driver, I said, how much would it cost to take me to Old Town, Minnesota? He said, $100. I had $60. That was a lot of money back in those days. Still a lot of money to me today. But he said, but I'll tell you what, boy. He said, you know how to hitchhike? I said, sure I know. He said, get on the bus, 25 cents, and take it to the end of Highway 14 and tear north. And he says, you'll get there. And so I did. If someone had told me that before I left my little farm home in Michigan, I'm a farm boy, man. I'll tell you what, I still got taters in my ears. I mean, good night. I still have calendar on my shoes, you know. You talk about a hick, man, you're looking at him, man. But to see what God, but can you imagine God saying, all right, this is what's going to happen to you for the rest of your life. Everything that would happen to us in our lives, we would not be able to handle the pressure. We didn't think we could handle the consequences. We would not have the opportunity to prove ourselves to please Him. That's pleasing God when we step out in faith and do something. It's pleasing God when we say, well, we're going to do that. You know, I don't know. I hope it'll work. I believe this is what God's given me, and there's some scriptures God gave me. I'm going to do it. I think it's about coming out here from South Dakota. Pastor in South Dakota, church is going great. I mean, the place was packed when I resigned that day. And come out here, 22 people, they didn't have a building. They didn't have an offering plate. Something wrong with that. The church didn't have an offering plate. Didn't they? Good night. And 33 years ago, I'm glad I did it. And you talk about a step of faith. I loaded three little boys and a precious wife into a U-Haul trailer and in a car and drove out here. Crazy. And I had promised a job to work for the deaconess then on the helicopter. I was the EMS. And when I got here, they said, oh, I'm sorry, we've changed that program and we're hiring from other people. I'm out here without, and they said, well, preacher, we'll give you $100 a week. That's good money, amen. If our life, we learn many lessons, we watch others going through situations of danger, we read the scriptures of men and women who went through the most horrendous situations and marveled at the faith, and their faith didn't waver. Aren't you glad you got the Bible? I'm going to tell you something. Some of those Bible characters, like Daniel, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. At that time, Babylon was the greatest nation in the world. And that young teenage boy said, I'm not going to eat what the king says I have to eat. I will not defile my body with this kind of food. That's his faith. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Oh, king! You know, they answered him carefully. And he got mad. And he said, fire that old furnace up 7 times hotter. And the Bible said that when they threw those 3 Hebrew boys in there, the guys would throw them in and dying. Their life was extinguished just like that. But they still had faith to do what God did time and time again. We also have seen the outcome of watching other people's lives, even in our church, see how that they get through some momentous things in their life. You know, the 21st century American Christian have not experienced these testings, these phenomena in that. It's been pretty easy for us. Life has been pretty easy for us. You know, with a little grit and determination, we can get all we want and all we eat. We enjoy our shelter, the elements. We enjoy comforts of life, and so the life of faith that God has called us to boils down to almost non-existent in America. The way things are looking now, we may not have to wait very long to start living like this. I'll give you an illustration of Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas. The mayor condemned the preachers and said that she wanted their texts of their sermons and everything they'd written down. There's new things happening now in Texas again. The issue of eminent domain in Texas. The city wants to condemn some churches and tear them down to build new businesses. They forget that back in the 50s and 60s, probably the most toughest towns in the United States was Houston, Texas. And a couple old black preachers and a white preacher went down there and started 3 churches. And all of a sudden, people got saved. People started living for God. They started cleaning up their place. They started going to work. And boy, that changed that whole neighborhood. But today, since it's all nice and everything, they want to condemn their property and bulldoze it down. The judge says to one church, the black church says, we can't do that. They don't have any other place to go, so we'll leave them alone. But to the white church, they've got another place they have property. We'll bulldoze their down. We'll just pay them a little bit, and they're going to have to build someplace else. That's in America! What do you think cleaned up Houston? Many chose to give God a few leftover parts in our jam-packed life and asked Him to be pleased with it. Lord, hear just this. Hear just that. You know, God wants us to live by faith. Let me tell you something. You're sitting in a building today that was bought by faith. These 8 acres that are around here that are paid for were bought by faith. Building number 1, $100,000. We had to come up with $30,000 the first payment. On October 31st, in 1984, I never do this. I always have the ushers count the offering after service, not during. Anybody messing with money ought to be praying and get preached at before they count it, amen. I said, go count the money. And we received that night $2.92 over $30,000. We had people that put a second mortgage on their home, sold their trailer houses, sold cars. But I looked like the Pawn Star. You love that show, good. People brought in pistols and rifles and wedding rings and you name it. They brought it in and said, preacher, and they put it in an offering plate. I loved it when they seen that, put that gun in their offering plate. That was pretty cool. I went around to different places. I sold all that stuff. Just get some more money. This church was built on faith. Wasn't built on just sitting around. People worked their hardest. Time and time again, we'd have the guys come in, and we'd come in at 6 o'clock on Monday night and work until 6 o'clock in the morning. All of us had jobs. All of us had jobs. Not only was I a pastor, but I also took care of the Barren Arms at the 32 units. A lot of work. A lot of faith going in this place. I'm telling you, folks. You folks that are sitting here today that didn't lift one little finger to this thing, there are some people that worked very hard to keep this place going. Now, I want to say this. God does not want just a few moments of our faith. He wants the Christian to live by faith and full of faith. How much of our lives is made up of faith? What percentage of our existence is completely dependent on God? Moses' life is a great example. The life of faith. Moses placed his life in the care of God and followed his word and his will. Someone's going to have to take her out. I want you to listen to this. Let me give you three unshakable benefits of living by faith. Number one, a life of faith a life of faith will guide you forward. A life of faith, number two, guarantees your deliverance. And number three, life of faith gives victory. The true life cannot be obtained by anywhere else, save only in the faith of God. First of all, let's look at the life will guide you forever forward. I don't know if you remember a guy named General Doolittle. He was a brilliant pioneer and air caller. General Doolittle performed the first airplane loop-de-loop was ever flown. He calculated his new maneuver with confidence and with full knowledge, get this now, of the limitation of man and his machine. He calculated, he figured it out. He was an engineer. He understood it, and he figured it out and calculated. He did not believe by the old saying, flying by the seat of your pants. There's an old saying used in aeronautical engineers and industry. There are old pilots, and there are bold pilots, but there is no old bold pilot. General Doolittle promoted instrument flying. He helped develop the altimeter and the directional gyroscope, a key element in radio beacon which provide the pilot with a signal showing the exact place to land. For years, he practiced instrument-only landing, many in the airfield of Boonton, New Jersey, where radar was developed. On September 24, 1929, in Long Island, New York, Doolittle went into the rear seat of the plane, covered it with a canvas hood. Seated in front of him was the safety pilot, Benjamin Kelsey, who held his hand skyward to prove the Doolittle was doing the controls, and the plane flew blindly into aviation history. During a 15-minute flight, Kelsey continued to hold his hands outside the cockpit, and Doolittle steered the engine into the plane into 280 degree turns and backed in an exact spot and landed at Mitchell Field. Listen now, I want to teach you something this morning about faith. And I don't want you to miss it. This is vital for our Christian life. How can we please God unless we live by faith? Doolittle flew the plane by proven instruments that were the panel of that plane. And so we Christians walk the Christian life not flying by the seat of our pants. For the most part, living the Christian life is not sightseeing, but it's instrument-only flying. It is so difficult in our life today. Things just happen. Aren't you amazed at things that happen? I want you to listen to Paul, what he wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is the main gauge on which the Christian gazes upon the instrument panel guidance guiding toward in our life forward to a final goal and our final landing where? In heaven. We are living in an age that our last flight is to go into heaven. That's what I want. And we want to come in there without crashing and burning. And the way we do that is we take the Word of God and we live by the Scripture. We live by the principles of the Word of God. If God said, don't do that, then I don't do that. God said, do this, and I'm going to do that. God said, hey, if you want to get saved, if you want to go to heaven someday and not burn in hell, He said, believe in me. I am the way, the truth, life. No man comes on the Father but by me. God's Word says, you must be saved. And Jesus said, I will that none would perish, but all would have eternal life. How beautifully told it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now get it now. No man comes on the Father but by me. That's the principles of the Word of God. So my life, my first step of faith is a believing that God loved me so much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we see in the Scriptures that God said, I love you. And so I, by faith, I trust God that He loves me. I trust His whole Bible, by faith. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I trust the Bible. This is the instrument panel I'm looking at. There's a hood over me. I'm looking at the panel and it says, you want to land in heaven? This is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. Simple. God made it simple. Have you ever got on an airplane and kind of took a peek at all the instrument panels in that great big aircraft? I mean, there's buttons and there's switches and there's dials and there's gauges and there's all kinds of things. And once in a while I get the privilege of sitting up kind of front and I'll hear a pull up, pull up, pull up, pull up, pull up. They're checking all their signals, you know, and if they're going into a stall, then there's a deal that starts saying, pull up, pull up, pull up, pull up, pull up. And all these, well, that's how I get from Great Falls to Chicago or to Salt Lake or to Narita, Japan or to Bangkok or to Nepal all by this. The other day, a while back, we were flying to my aunt's funeral and it was foggy out. And they took off and they landed. You couldn't even hardly see in front of you, but they landed. You know how they did it? They're just watching that. Were they flying by faith? Yeah. Were they flying by sight? But boy, that baby come in, and I call it greasing it. Man, when they come in, just, I like that. I got to ask it. I told one of the pilots when we got off the one place, I said, I know we had a jackrabbit in here. But anyway, yeah, I said, it was kind of rough. Wasn't it? Yeah. Listen about Moses. Moses forsook his past. Now let's remember the story. Moses is born, and the government, the Egyptian government, said, you will kill all the boys. All the baby boys, you will kill them. You'll take them down to the river and drown them. The Israelites are getting too big. The Pharaoh said, drown them. Well, you remember the story, don't you? Mama took baby Moses and made a little boat. And took that little baby out and put him in the bulrushes, which are like cattails. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh's daughter happened to be there. And she heard that little baby what?
Cry. And she sent the girls out to get them. You know, I don't know why she sent them up, because that thing was loaded with crocodiles. Ooh, that's a great place. Do you think Moses' mama had faith? Oh, my. Hey, Brother Jonah, can you imagine taking that little baby first? Put it in a little hole, put it on. Hey, Casey, can you imagine putting your little guy out there?
I can. Can you imagine putting your little one out there?
But she did. But in that faith, God allowed that little boy, baby Moses,
to be taught in the greatest university in the world, in Egypt.
He was Pharaoh's son, Pharaoh's grandson. Guess who the next Pharaoh would be? Moses. And he says, no,
I'm not going to be that. I'm going to forsake Egypt. In the scripture we learn that by faith Moses led. God led Moses to refuse the call of Egypt. By the way, he will become the next Pharaoh, the future leader of all the heathens, but he refused to be Egyptian. Moses left Egypt, quote unquote, forever. Paul the Apostle wrote to the church of Philippi, chapter 3, verse 13, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Too bad that the rest of the Israelite nation did not walk as their leader Moses walked. In Numbers chapter 21, the Bible says, And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the souls of the people were much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against Moses. They spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is any water. Listen to the rest of the statement. And our soul loatheth this like bread. They just said we don't have bread. You ever find yourself discouraged in the way that faith has guided you? You're not alone. Israelites were discouraged as well. Notice the reaction, their murmuring and their self-pity. Their self-pity. Faith was leading them forward, teaching them to forsake the past, but Israelites kept their eyes on things of the past. Now you better be careful, Christian. The farther away from the things you in the past, the more you think they're pretty good. Oh man, you remember when we used to? No, I don't. Not good. The past is not good. The more it appeals to become. I was told that when a football player gets older, the better player he was. Let me say that again.
I was told that the older the football player gets,
the better the player he was. My coach got pretty upset with a bunch of us guys, and he started yelling at us. He said, I'm going to put my pads on and show you a real football player. Show you a real football player. And guess what the boy said? Bring it on, coach. And he was a young coach. He was a young guy. After he was so beat up, after a couple of plays, he apologized to the whole team. God's Word commands us to stop looking back. Stop it. Keep your face forward and keep your step going forward by faith. I'm going to tell you something. Same with Heritage Baptist Church. Quit you looking back. Yeah, we got 8 acres. Yeah, we got 2 buildings. Yeah, we got all these buses. Yeah, we got... Hey, you know, yeah, it's all paid for. Yeah. But quit looking back I tell a fellow,
you know, if you catch a big fish, you can tell that story a couple times. But you better go up and catch another fish so you can tell another story.
Because the other story's stinking. It's getting old. Let me tell you something. These children on the bus ride our buses every week. Thank God for that. But there's more kids out there than this little handful here. And we love these kids. Love them to death. We put money into it. We take them to camp. Every week, the guys that could be over in our service, could be singing in our choir, could be playing our music, they come over here and work for these children. So it is life by faith. And faith is what is good. We are to face the unknown. For he endured as seeing his who he was invisible, Moses said. He endured. He said, I see the invisible. Moses did not literally see God. No man's seen God live. But Moses was able to see God do the impossible through faith. Faith begins where man's power ends. The sooner we come to the end of our strength, the sooner we're able to live by faith. The sooner all the money's gone. The sooner your strength is gone. That's when we start living by faith. Living by faith is the most sweetest thing in the world. The other day,
if you look out this building, you see Johnson Madison. We needed some
supplies. We tried. We were going all over the place. I was sick and tired driving. Man, oh man! I started at 10:30 in the morning, 2:30 in the afternoon. I was just going constantly back there, getting this, getting that. Finally, I thought I'm going to go over next door. I'm going to see what they got if they sell me anything. I walked over there and met a guy, and I said, "Hey, I'm Pastor Shear. I'm your neighbor." "Hey, good to meet you. My name is."
And he said,
"What can I do with you?" I said, "Can you sell us anything?" I said, "We're remodeling our building." "Sure, what do you need?" And I told him, "Yeah, I just got some of that. And need some of this for sheetrock mud." "Yeah, I got that. What else do you need?" I said, "Well, that's all I need right now." He said, "Hey, anytime, man." And he carried that stuff up and put in my truck. And I said, "How much owe you?" He said, "No." He said, "No." He said, "We want to donate that." About 5 years ago, we had a trucker that needed to park his truck, and you said we can park any truck you want over on our property. So we can't do it here. There's not enough room. But boy, he says, "I just want to pay you back a little bit." Hey, that's by faith. That's by faith. We didn't have it, but we got it. I hope that you live by faith. I hope you give yourself your faith. A man sick with palsy. In Mark 2, had four friends of faith that saw the need to bring him to Jesus despite all the obstruction. They pulled the top off of that roof of that house. Can you imagine that? Oh, how about they called you to come back and build it? And when Jesus saw their, listen to that, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick man of the palsy, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee." When they saw their faith, he healed that guy. Faith always follows them the way. Moses saw the way through faith. When life seems most difficult, God always has a way to strengthen us. Living by faith guarantees deliverance. Living by faith guarantees deliverance. I hope to God that you live by faith. Some of you, we're going to ask you to give some more money to our church. You say, "I don't have it." Why don't you try God? Why don't you just try it? Just see. We're going to ask you to help us fervently over in building number one. Get that project done. Clean it up. Get it going. I'm going to tell you something. I'll be pretty ashamed when our ladies, our mini spectaculars in our church is not fixed up nice. We have every opportunity to do it. It just takes a minute. You say, "But preacher, I can't do it." Give me an hour. Give me 2 hours. So many ladies can come paint. So many ladies clean. Oh my goodness, we got so much cement dust over there. Yeah, we could build another building with it, amen. All we have to do is add water, amen. A lot of work to be done. We just need you. We need you. This is the work, because it's work by faith. He said, preacher, I don't have time. Well, then try it. Just try it. Give me a couple hours. Just help a little bit. Hey, we need to live by faith. Prove really what you really are. Let's see what you're made out of, amen. He said, but I'm tired. I'm born tired, amen. I like to suck a lot of sleep out of my pillow, amen. It just seems like it hasn't been there for a few years. Amen. We're always tired. Always got things going. There's always, you know, everything's in our way. Well, if you just put yourself into it and serve God, you'll be all right. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us and caring for us. Thank you for the promise of heaven. Thank you for the scriptures which teach us we all live by faith, not by sight. Dear God, I pray that anyone here today, not sure they're saved, that Lord, that they would take that step of faith and trust you and believe in you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know that. You know, I didn't know that. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven, but I sure like to know that. Right there where you sit, you by faith, you can ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and ask him in your heart. You say, how do I do that? Preacher, very simple. Just pray a prayer to God. By faith, say, dear God, I'm going to trust in you. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross, rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now, right here. Simple as that. That's salvation. It's really not the words you say. It's the faith you put to it. God, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. That's God's promise to you today. It'd be a terrible thing you come to church today and hear all about faith and not use any of it. Won't you trust Jesus today? Won't you ask him from your heart? As you bow, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Everyone standing right where you're at. Don't move around. Don't talk. Just stand. You hear today and say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know how to get to heaven. I'd like to know that. Would you please step out of that seat, walk down his aisle, please get out of your way. We'll just show you in the Word of God how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. That'd be a terrible thing if you didn't know Jesus. Why don't you come? You hear today and say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know where I'd go. Let me show you from this old book, the Word of God, how you can know for sure you go to heaven. Why don't you come right out? Step out of the seat. Come on and say, preacher, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come? Maybe you're today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism, that down in the water and above the water. Why don't you come at this time? Maybe you're today and say, preacher, we've been looking for a good church. This is the church we want to join. Why don't you step out of that seat, walk down the aisle and say, preacher, this is the church we want to be part of. Why don't you come at this time? Again, if you're here today, you say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know where I'd go, heaven or hell, I have no idea. Don't you want to know that today? Don't you want to take care of that today? Let me show you from the Word of God how you know that. Why don't you come? Again, you hear today, you say, preacher, I want to follow the Lord and believe in baptism. I know that's what the Bible says. Once you get saved, you follow the Lord and believe in baptism. I need to do that. Why don't you come? Or your day, say, preacher, we'd like to be part of this church. Why don't you come? Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we can come. Help us, Lord God, to give our hearts to you. Help us to give our hearts to faith. Help us, Lord, to do the things which are right. Lord, as we see the scripture, faith is not something that's just jumping into some hazardous place. Faith is calculated out. It's through the Word of God, the principles of the Word of God, and then we move. Lord, we may not see it, but we know that this is what we should do, and we just do it. Lord, help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, before you leave...